Come on. Don't stop. This is good. We thank you, Jesus. We've just been prophesying over our lives, prophesying, in aligning our... listen, there's so much that's done in the soul. We are prophesying over our soul. Soul, remember the goodness of the Lord. Remember what he's doing in our lives. Remember that God is faithful. So can we bless the worship team? Thank you so much, you guys. That was so good. That was so good. You know, I felt like, Andy, you prophesied it. Maybe I should let you just... Actually, why don't you just come up here and just we'll prophesy this together. But I felt like on the way here, I saw the Lord, like, putting his hands on like, the sides of our heads. And I felt like he was just doing work inside our minds. He was giving us the mind of Christ. This is what it is to be solid, to be mature, to be whole. I just felt he was releasing wholeness this morning, and all worship just spoke of that. And so Andy got up, and she started to just release a word. I wrote down all the things that you were declaring, like, at the beginning, which is awesome. So Jesus knows what he's doing, but can I just have you prophesy that out over us? And why don't you just put your, again, I love this, the receive mode, right? Because God has so much for us. He loves to bless us. So why don't you put your hands out as Andy just prophesies over you.
I had a choice to make this morning. The choice was to worship. The choice was to come out of the grave clothes. The choice was to get out of anxiety, get out of fear. And on my way, I was like, Lord, I just snuggle into your presence. I just snuggle into your bosom. And I just started to worship, and it was amazing. And guess what the worship team does? They come along, and they're like, hey, let's hide in your presence. Let's draw closer. Man, if you want to be a weapon in God's hand, worship. Oh, man. So here we go. Lord, I just prophesy as we snuggle into your presence. We snuggle into your bosom right now. I just declare the anxiety is leaving right now in the name of Jesus. Get off. Go away. You no longer cast your shadow. I'm in the shadow of the Lord. Fear, same thing. Sickness, disease. Help. I hear the word helplessness. That's interesting. If you felt helpless, that's going away. And I just, Lord, I just declare right now the joy of the Lord, the peace that passes all understanding. And where does your help come from? Come on, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Yeah, Lord, we just declare that we will step into your peace. We will step into your kindness. We will step into your love. And this is interesting language for me. The residue of heaven we find in your shadow, it's the glory. And nothing can stand in your presence and in your love that isn't of you. So I prophesy as we draw in, the other stuff is leaving right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, in Jesus' name, all right. Woo!
Amen. So good. Thank you. Our simple yes, that's all it takes. This is a profound, memorable moment in the kingdom. When we give him our yes, all things are possible. So I know in a moment, in a worship time together, it's like, oh man, what can God do right now? All things are possible. We've entered the all things are possible zone. We got a couple things, but let's just stay in this place where we're just like staying connected with the Lord. Just don't leave this place. It's good. We're going to go ahead and do some offering this morning. Can we throw up the offering decree? And we're just going to stay in the place of presence this morning and decree this together. You guys ready? As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefit sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interests and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Awesome. Come on. We're still worshiping, right? We have buckets here in the front and also in the back. So if you have your offering and you want to drop that, I encourage you to do that. You don't have to do that now, but you can. I don't know if it's a distraction for Pastor Mike or not, but one of the things is I love to keep worship going. And so as someone is declaring and preaching the word, I might just come up and give my offering in the middle of what they're doing. So hopefully that doesn't distract you if they do that. But I just encourage you to make deposits into the kingdom. this morning as we get into the word and activate that reality in our lives. So good. Sorry. You all right? You good? We ready for the word this morning? All that pump of action? Before we jump into that, I want to just share a couple little things. We have these amazing sheets that have some announcements in it. You should check those out. They're worth reading into. I did have a couple that I just wanted to highlight real quickly. We have something called Foundations in Healing. It is a training that we do. Anyone who's hungry to see the supernatural, miracles, signs, and wonders activated in their life, we want to create a place, a space for the Lord to minister to that. And so the Healing Rooms here puts that on. And really, it's about being immersed in a culture of joy and expectation about what God is doing. And so that's going to be August 7th. It'll be 1 to 4 o'clock in the Ed Wing where the Healing Rooms is. We invite you to come. There's no charge or anything for you to come, so it's free. And as of now, we don't have any childcare. But if you did have some childcare needs, would you let us know? Because we'd be honored to be able to find someone to take care of that for us so that you can attend and be part of that. The other thing is we have something called the Joy of Intercession. How many intercessors are in the room? How many feel like, I am called to be an intercessor? Yeah, several. Awesome. Okay, cool. And for those of us, who has a voice in here? Raise your hand if you have a voice in here. Awesome. Your voice is a weapon in the hand of the Lord. My intercession looks like laughter and quick prayer. When I see it, I declare it out and I release it. And I stay in a place of joy and expectation, looking for God to do the things that he says he's going to do and that he promises to do. And so I just feel like this is such a unique season that we're in. We could say in this region, we could say nationally, we could say globally. All of those things would be correct, right? But I really feel like if the children of God will partner with the Lord and begin to release his truth and his decree and his blessing on the earth, we're going to be partnering with him to release one of the greatest harvests that mankind has ever seen. And this is God's heart. I'm not hyping up news. This is just what God is doing. So we have the joy, the responsibility, and the privilege to run with God and to partner with him in that. So we have something called The Joy of Intercession. It is a book. It's a DVD series, and it's based on a book called Happy Intercessor by the author is Benny Johnson. And so it's a DVD series where we're going to meet here on the August 28th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to provide some lunch for you, and we're just going to have some fellowship time while we're here in the middle of that. But we're going to go through that, and we want to be able to just activate you to release your voice and partner with God to see wild, wild exploits in Jesus' name. Can you handle that? Okay, cool. Pastor Mike, you ready? You look really ready. Yeah, he's just receive mode. He's got the peace. Come on up, man. Can we bless Mike this morning?
Thanks, Josh.
Dude.
You're amazing.
It's good.
Thanks, bud.
It's good.
Good morning. You should have received a handout as you came in. Did you all receive a handout? If you haven't, raise your hand, and we're going to put shame on you. We talked about shame last week. So, Deanna, do you know where they're at? If we can, they might be back here. It's, I was joking about the shame, by the way. Go ahead and raise your hand again, and Deanna, our faithful Deanna, is going to, she'll pass them out. In fact, we can help pass them out. This is new to me. I've done this the last couple times I've taught, and I'm not used to it. So give grace as I'm expanding and learning new ways of communicating. If you want to give me $1 million, put those hands up. Oh, there we go. Hallelujah. Hi. Love to. I want you to say these words with me. Two words. I want you to say them out loud. Mental health. Do you know how much shame are on those two words? It's like Jeff and I are trying to find different ways to say mental health. Journey to wholeness. Discipleship. But you know what? There should be no shame on those words. You struggle with mental health. I struggle with mental health. Any thoughts that don't align with how Jesus Christ tells us how to live needs mental health. That's what we're doing. We are confronting any thoughts, attitudes, things in our life that would contradict the truth of God's word. And the way we have mental health is we think the way Jesus thinks, discovered in his word. So, dear ones, if there's a chemical imbalance in your life that needs medication right now to think like Jesus, take the medication. We'll pray for healing. We'll pray for God to touch you. It's not either or, it's and both. But I have discovered, and we are discovering, that there's such shame. We can't talk about this because as Christians, we're all full of joy and victory. Yay, but there's some work we still need to do to get there. Can I have about two more people say amen with that? Amen. Thank you. So we're on this journey. On 27th of June, I began this talk, the sharing, on all of us have four root causes that keep us from walking in a greater freedom in Christ. That they're unique to you, but they're common to all. What I mean by that is this. We all struggle with these four root causes, but it might look different in my life compared to your life. And the four root causes are these. Just to review last time, real quick. Here's the four root causes. You deal with the root, you take care of the fruit. The root causes is first, generational patterns. You grew up in your normal. And it's not until we get older that we recognize my normal had some abnormality to it. But as a child, you don't know any different. You don't have anything to compare against. So whatever traditions, whatever environment you grew up in, if that was a single parent, if that was two parents, how your parents interacted, how your family interacted, that was your normal. And guess what? 100% of us have grown up in abnormal normality. That's what sin brought into the world, brokenness. So generational patterns are ways in which we just do life. It's how we know, how we live, how we operate. It's just the way we do things without even thinking many times. Second root cause is curses and labels. Things that we speak over our own lives and words that have been spoken over our lives by others. It could be this, man, you'll never be anything. How can you be so stupid and still be breathing? I've heard people tell other people, things that are just so not the heart of the Father. And in today's world, more than any other time in my life, we reduce people down to a label. You are a conservative Republican. You are a liberal Democrat. Oh, you're one of them tongue talkers. And we reduce people down to just one little word that tried to say, this is who you are, without recognizing there's so much more to who we are than just this label. So whenever you hear labels being put upon people, recognize that is a root cause that will keep that person and keep ourselves, and even seeing them will keep us into a certain amount of bondage that Christ did not come to have us live in. Third is injustices. When you and I go through circumstances and situations that are just not fair, it's not right. We have been people who have created injustice. Let's be honest. We're not all those who just received, and everybody out there is bad. We've done it ourselves, and we've received injustices. Without dealing with these things properly, we can sing the songs of I'm victory in Jesus and still struggle with depression and discouragement and wondering if God cares about me and la, 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 because it's more than just I sing the song. It has to be real in our hearts. Then that song becomes a declaration of what we really believe. And then last is open doors. Open doors is anything where we willingly stepped into an arena or a realm where God says, that is sin. It's against my word. It's against my heart. We can do that knowingly or unknowingly. In the sense of, before I really followed Christ, I opened my heart up to things that I just thought I was innocent. I opened up my heart. And I became now an area of my life I have to protect because I opened a door. So that could be pornography. That could be bitterness. That could be anything where we open up our hearts to something and now it has an avenue by which it can keep us in a bondage and not the freedom that Jesus Christ came to set us free. Okay? So now where do we go from here? That was good stuff right there. Now, where do we go to? So we're talking about footholds and strongholds this morning, and we're going to give some very practical application. Here's what I want you to do. It's going to take me, I got to do a little work before I get to your notes, okay? So just stay with me, right in the margin, right? But when we get to these note parts, I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, and this is my prayer all week, put a check mark if there's anything that your heart goes, wait a sec, I need to look at this. As we get to certain points, I'll remind you again, put a check mark and say, maybe there's something there. I need to allow the Lord to do a work in my heart. Okay? So strongholds don't appear out of nowhere. In essence, we don't have just this day we're doing great, and all of a sudden, I am bound by a way of thinking that quick. Strongholds are built over time. They're patterns of thinking. They're ways in which through these root causes, we just begin to normally go after these ways of thinking, and it's not just overnight. It happens over as we think it over and over and over again. Strongholds affect the way we think, and then the way we behave. So understand, these don't come on us just that quickly. It's where you and I make agreements with the lies of an enemy that has come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he is, we're going to get to this really intentionally in a moment, that he is a liar and everything he says is a lie. Strongholds happen when we agree with a lie, not the truth of what Jesus said. The lie can seem so real because of our normal. But the reality of it, Jesus Christ has come to set us free. Where does this take place? Where does the fight happen? Where is this battle for freedom? And the scripture is very clear. The battle is right here. It's in our minds. So this morning, we're going to be launching from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, a familiar passage for many of us. If you have a tablet, if you have a Bible, if you have a phone, if you have, I think it'll be on the screen, Marnie, I'm sure it'll be on the screen. If you're watching us live or catch us later, take your Bible. And I want you to pay attention to certain words. These are the words I want you to pay attention to. Underline them in your Bible if you would. Look at the words strongholds, arguments, pretension, thoughts, knowledge. This is where the war is taking place. In the context, Paul is dealing with false teachers who are interjecting false doctrine, false thoughts about who he is. And Paul is saying this is how you confront when falsehood is brought into your life. If you watch television for 30 seconds in a day, you're going to get falsehood put into your life. But we don't have to watch television. It's already there. And so Paul has given us ways in which how the tools for us to be able to not be victims of this, but to be overcomers. And they're brilliant. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do, right? We live in the world. We do not wage war as the world does. Look and see what language is he using to describe how we're going to deal with thoughts, arguments, pretensions. He calls it a war. He says we have to fight. We got to understand, for us to walk into freedom, for us to walk into wholeness, it just doesn't happen. You and I have to understand this is a battle. The battle is not here, the battle is here. And you have to see it that way. It is a war we wage. It's a fight we have. And Paul goes on to say, the weapons we fight with, that word weapon means tool, it means an implement, it means a weapon. God equips us to fight the fight. Yay. We're not stuck. I don't care how old you are. You don't have to stay in the same way you are, saying, well, now that I'm old, I'm kind of set in my ways. That is a lie. God gives us tools, weapons, for you and I to walk in greater freedom. Philippians 1, he who began the good work will be faithful to bring it to completion today of Christ Jesus. That until we see him face to face, there is this promise. He equips us to be able to grow in greater and greater freedom. The weapons we fight with, he says, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they, the weapons, have divine power to demolish strongholds, to raise it, to tear it down, to rip it out. It's the word demolish. It means it's just you reduce it down to nothing. He says, what's verse 5 say? We. Say that word with me. We. It doesn't say God. It says we. God doesn't do this. We do it. He gives us the tools. We do the work. He gives us the power. We put the tools into place. God doesn't just come along and say, you are now free from your whole past. He says, you're saved, you're delivered, you're my son, you're my daughter. But you and I have a mind that still needs to be redeemed. And that's the we. We have to do that. That's our responsibility. We'll look at that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But understand, we demolish this. We don't have to live stuck. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So, where do strongholds reside? Strongholds reside in arguments and pretension. So, have you ever had some time in your life where you either read the verse of Word of God, heard the Word of God preached, and an argument took place in your mind? Well, if God heals today, why did my nephew die? It's an argument. If God loved me, and he's my provider, how come I don't have money? And we, through our four root causes, can begin to set up arguments that set itself up against the knowledge of God, of who he is. Pretension is this word like a battlement. It means a high place. It means where there is this thing that is higher than something else. So, dear ones, listen. Strongholds reside when God's word, God's character, God's nature, who God shows himself to be, an argument and something higher than that sets itself up against it so that the reality of who God is doesn't reach our mind or our heart. And we have responsibility to tear those things down. And God said, Paul says, God will give you the weapons and the tools to do that. We'll look at that in just a moment. We don't have to live that way any longer. So, it's important to recognize that we have a responsibility to take every thought captive. How do we fight this battle? You take every thought captive. Listen, thoughts are like a seed planted. If you don't deal with that seed planted, it'll be rooted and it'll be established and it will grow into what is called a stronghold. When our house in California, there was a tree in our planter that just, you know how the tree just kind of spreads other trees, and I didn't want a tree in that place. And so I walked past that tree starting to grow and I said, I need to take care of that tree. And I walked into the house. And I go leave the house, I go, man, that tree needs to be out of my garden, and I leave. And day after day after day after day after day after day, I looked at that tree that was growing in my garden, and eventually I said, I need to get this tree out. It's getting too big. And what would have taken me going like this, pluck, gone, took a truck with a chain to rip it out. Why? I didn't take care of the thought. You need to get that tree out when it's like this, not like, rah! Now, praise God, we've got weapons. God, we don't, even if you have this going on in your life, God has given us divine weapons to get these out of our lives. But it's so much easier if when the thought comes to go, that's not my father's thought. No. That's the weapon. That's the fighting. That's where we have to be diligent. When a thought comes to your head, God doesn't love you. Don't go, I wonder if he does. I think there's reasons. I know that God loves everybody, but I don't know if he loves me. Because, wait, stop. It's time to go to battle. I will not, that's not what my father says about me. Pluck, gone. And then I replace the thought with what God says about me. What God says about you. I've talked to people who won't go to church because they know because of the depth of their sin, the walls would fall down. Literally, the walls would fall down if they came into the building. And I go, you got to be kidding me. You're not that good of a sinner. So this is what's important. Thoughts that will set itself up against the knowledge of God. So here's one of the keys. You've got to have the knowledge of God. Listen, we cannot be ignorant when it comes to the Word of God. This cannot be the only place you get the Word of God. Why we teach every Sunday is because we are staying in the Word of God. It's important that every Sunday, almost every Sunday, we teach the Word of God. Because the Word of God is one of the weapons that He uses to destroy the strongholds. But dear ones, ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the Word of God. Ignorance is bondage. Yes. Because if you don't know what God says, you will automatically go back into the stronghold. It's normal. A few weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And Jesus was talking to Jewish people who had put their faith in Him. So He says these words in verse 31 and 32. He says, to the Jews who believed in Him. And now He shows how we go from this place where I just believe in Him. He's my Savior. He forgave me my sins. If I die, I'm going to heaven. Yay. But that's not what He's calling us to be only. People who have got fire insurance, who are going to heaven. He's calling us to be disciples of Him. So to the Jews who believed in Him, He says these words. If you abide, if you remain, if you live in my teaching, you're my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Our society has taken this phrase, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I hear it on all sites of movies, all different places, but the context is Jesus saying, if you remain in my teaching. So you're not just free because you believe in Jesus. Come on. You're free as you remain in His teaching. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And there have been many times, dear ones, where I am battling the thought that comes back to my normal, comes back to these four root causes, and I have verbally said out loud, that's not my Father's thought. I will not let you get rooted in my life. I will not let you be planted in my life. Because if I don't deal with you now, it's going to become a stronghold in my life and a stronghold in our lives. So how do we fight? We have to fight. Ephesians chapter 6 calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And sometimes, I don't want to be crude or graphic, but sometimes we don't need to take the sword and go after the enemy. We need to take the sword and go after our own head. We need to take that sword and go, no, stop it. That's not true. It's the sword of the Spirit that begins to change this. We change this, we change behaviors. And too often in the church, we've tried to change behaviors without changing this. So if you're a young person, stop making out. Just stop it. And then when you get married, have fun. And we don't teach them how. Stop being depressed. Come to the altar and pray. That's an option. But we're not teaching how. I shouldn't say that. We need to get better at teaching how. Let me say it that way. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our minds have to be constantly renewed. Don't be conformed to the patterns of our society. Don't be conformed to your normal. Don't be conformed to the injustice. Don't be conformed to the label. Just because someone says you're this, don't let that be who you are. No, I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. How do we renew our mind? This isn't new stuff, but we have got to be people who fight for this. We can't be lazy in this. And we can't just let somebody do it for us. This is how we have to live as people of God. Amen. Thank you. So we partner with God. We allow Him to disciple us into His Word. We allow Him to change our thinking and our living. Are you kidding me when Jesus says, love your enemies? Are you kidding me? Jesus, that's normal to love enemies? That's ridiculous. I don't like Christians sometimes, let alone my enemies. You know what I'm saying? We look at the life of Jesus and it's so abnormal to us because our normal is so whacked that Jesus goes, I want to show you God. I'm going to be the exact representation of God. And what do we do as human beings? We killed Him. He came to show us what normal life is like, and we couldn't take it, so we killed him. We must allow the Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be weaponized in our favor to destroy these strongholds that would try to keep us not walking in freedom, but keep us in a bondage, not walking in the fullness of what God has for us in our lives. So we got to keep understanding what Jesus says. He talks about marriage. He talks about raising kids. He talks about your money. He talks about your rest. He talks about how to get along with people you don't like. He over and over again, he talks about it. He goes, I want to show you. I want to show you. I want to show you. And he lived it out. So what I didn't understand when I was younger in my discipleship, that I thought if I could just learn a bunch of stuff about the Bible, that's going to help me. And I didn't realize I had to unlearn a lot of stuff before I could learn it. I have been in a journey of unlearning and learning. Don't be shocked when God's word or through discipleship relationship, because this is lived out in community, where you go, I thought this was truth. And you go, wait a sec, that's not truth. And then you go, I'm lost now because this is my normal. I don't know what to do. Because if you don't know what to do, you'll just do what you know what to do. So you have to learn new ways to do, because if not, you'll go back to your stronghold. It's comfortable. I liked my stronghold. I liked my normal. I loved being sarcastic. I was really good at it. Of course, I hurt people tremendously, but that was their problem. Until the Lord began dealing with my heart, and he dropped a verse in my heart, Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my redeemer. And then he dropped this word, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I would love to say that overnight I became this loving person who just never said anything sarcastic. It didn't work that way. He had to dismantle my normal. He had to teach me to unlearn sarcasm. He had to teach me how it was okay to say words of tenderness, how to be kind. I wasn't kind when I was younger. I wasn't tender when I was younger. I was words that I can't say right here, right now. I think you know where I'm going. But we remain in his teaching. And then we will be set free. Habit patterns, ways in which we just normally think. And you know what, dear ones? We don't do this as islands. We do this as community. It's never supposed to be me and Jesus got a good thing going. The Bible is full of Southern talk, y'all. 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 We're supposed to be in y'all. It's not me. It's we. We demolish strongholds. We do this together. You see, we are to be in community so that our lives get to live out what we're learning in our freedom. And then we give each other grace as we're learning how to live out our new freedom. But also there are people who have gone ahead of us in their maturity, and we need to look to them. I remember there was a guy named Larkin Smith. It's amazing. I'm about 7 or 8 years old. He was a sheetrocker. Back in the days where they had the screw guns, he had a hammer, a sheetrock hammer. And I remember my dad, who was a construction worker or owned a construction company, he takes me to a job, and Larkin Smith is there. And my dad says, this guy is one of the most positive guys you'll ever see. This guy is always grateful. I'm looking at, and I'm 7 or 8 years old going, this is weird. That's weird. And so we go to the job site. Larkin is hanging sheetrock. We step away to do something else, and we hear this thwack. A hammer drops. And Larkin yells out, because he had just smashed the pudding out of his thumb. He goes, thwack, drop. Praise God, I didn't hit my whole hand. Sounds like Thessalonians. Be joyful always, rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in every situation. I'm now 50 years later still remembering Larkin Smith, and I've had a lot of people coming out of my life, but he made a mark on my life just by one thing, hitting his thumb with a hammer and praising God for it. You see, dear ones, this is why, and we're going to get this in just a moment, this is why we've got to really understand community is where we live this out. And we're all at different places on our journey. This is why Paul says, you who are strong, bear with the failings of the weak. It's not that you're not loved by God. It's not that we're not adored by God. It's that we just haven't got to places yet where his word has worked into our heart so that we are now walking in greater and greater freedom. Okay, so let's get after this. Paul adds in Ephesians chapter 4 this word called a foothold. And Jeff and I taught on this in our study in James about quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Anger is a great emotion. It's awesome. One of the things I had to unlearn, Christians don't get angry. Well, that's a lie, right? Go to a church softball game. You'll see that's not true. Christians don't get angry. That's a lie. Anger is a great emotion. It's appropriate. But like every emotion, you got to deal with it. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, do not let the sun go down on your anger and so give the devil a foothold. So don't let periods of time go by without dealing appropriately with anger. So let's look at your notes. Let's define now foothold and stronghold. You guys ready? They should be up there on the screen. Go, Marnie. Put it up there. Foothold are places in our lives that we give the enemy power or opportunity. I'll give you time to write because there's a lot there. A place from which an advance is for military operations are made. When you're finished writing, say, I'm done. I'm going to wait, let you write this out. This is a race, by the way. You two get an A, everyone else, now the curve is going down. Okay? On June 6th, keep writing. On June 6th, 1944, the Allies invaded Europe, and they landed on the beaches of Normandy. Military historians said the war was over at that point. But in Europe, the war wasn't officially over till May 8th, 1945. What are they talking about? As soon as the Allies were able to get a foothold on the beaches of Normandy, where more troops, more supplies, everything they need could be brought into the country, Germany, it was just a matter of time and they were done. Footholds are those places. It's where it might not seem to affect you right now, but if you keep going, it'll eventually spread into every other of your life. It's thoughts, it's attitudes, it's habits, it's ways in which we process life. It's a foothold. It's a lie that comes in and it gets just a beachhead, but your life doesn't really seem to change because it's not a stronghold yet. It's just a foothold. It's just a beginning. So that's where I talk about take the plan out. You got to take it before it becomes more than just a foothold. So that's how Paul says anger is one of the ways. If you don't properly deal with anger, anger is one of the main doors in which a foothold could be established by our enemy. So let's define strongholds. Strongholds are beliefs or a way of thinking that takes away from our life with God. Things that weigh us down and keep us from achieving our God-given potential. Strongholds are beliefs or a way of thinking that takes away from our life with God. Things that weigh us down and keep us from achieving our God-given potential. This is not talking like I have a bad day or a bad week or I've gone through difficulties. This is talking about a lifestyle pattern where is the joy of the Lord? Ah, ha, 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 ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I haven't laughed in 6 months. Something's going on. Well, I'm just, by nature, I'm just more of a somber person. Wait, no. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Well, my dad was impatient, so I'm, wait, hold on. That's not what we're talking about here. That's a normal. When the fruit of the Spirit is not evident in our lives, you've got to make a check mark and say, maybe there's something there that a stronghold has taken root in my life. And so what God says, this is normal, I'm not living that. And dear ones, everybody right here, everybody okay? You can still go to church every Sunday, sing the songs, give money, but that doesn't mean in the privacy of your own heart, there's not something that is need to be rooted out. So let's give 6 recognized strongholds. This is what I'm going to ask you. If you see this, put a check mark by it, okay? Here's 6. Ask the Lord this week, is there something there? Number 1, we talked about it, anger. When you think about that person or do you think about that situation, even though it's been a while, do you still get angry with them? Are you still mad? Does it still create emotion? That means it's unresolved. Do you still, though you don't want to be the person that causes them harm, would you not be that upset if harm came to them? Second is fear. Fear is where we question God. Can I trust him? Will he be faithful? I'm not talking about a situation where something happens. I mean, each time you have a challenge, you wonder if God will be faithful. That God cannot prove himself enough for you because you're just waiting for that next shoe to fall. You're waiting for that next, you know, bad things happen in three. The Bible doesn't say that at all. And yet I've heard Christians use that as strong as the gospel. Murphy's Law, something bad can happen, it will. Praise Jesus. I mean, is there this sense of I can't trust him? What's going to happen now with the economy? Now that all this money is being spent out, and now we go, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, la, la, la. And it's like, man, we've been here before. Stop. He's God. He'll take care. Might look different, but he's going to take care of you. But I just can't believe that means there's a stronghold there that needs to be dealt with. Third, four fingers, passivity. I've talked about this one before. Passivity is the Eeyore attitude. Not going to work. God blesses everybody but me. Can't find my tail. Not going to look for it. Eeyore, here's your tail. Probably lose it again. For those of you who are old enough to remember, hee-haw, doom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony for me. Praise Jesus. Have you ever talked? I mean, if you're that person, stop it. That's my counsel to you. Stop. God doesn't answer prayer because he feels sorry for you. He answers prayer because you believe in him and he loves you. But don't think, I'm just, nothing good happens to me. Maybe I'll feel sorry enough, God will hear my prayer. That doesn't sound at all like God. Because if he answers your prayer when he feels sorry for you, then where does faith come in? Then he'd be an awful disciple but father where he's answering stuff because you feel miserable. Listen, if you feel miserable, deal with it. But you can't live a life of Eeyore. And can I just say honestly, you're going to have trouble making friends. Because people hate hanging around Eeyores. We want Tigger. And I get it. We got stuff, right? We'll help you, but you can't just for the next 5 years be Eeyore. It won't work. It's a stronghold. Rejection. I'm never going to try again because I got hurt. A rejection. That's a stronghold. Don't make vows about what you will do or never do because you begin living by that curse or that label. If you've gone through divorce, I hate men. Men are the worst. They're all jerks. Maybe, but be careful with what you say because rejection, man, you just spit poison off everybody. Deal with it. Be a warrior. Fight with the word of God. Third and fifth or whatever it is, and Dia did a great job last week, shame. Brene Brown, as she mentioned her, shame is the intense, painful feeling that we are unworthy of love. Do you know what our community should be? There should be somebody in your life that knows you well and loves you. Not everybody, we don't have time for that. But there needs to be some people in this place that knows your life well and still loves you. And here is the greatest news of all. God knows everything about you and he loves you. Isn't that amazing? It's like you can hide it from us, but you can't hide it from God. And God says, I love you. Now let's go after this. Because it's keeping us from the freedom in Christ. But dear ones, sometimes Jesus needs to have clothes on. Jesus needs to have skin on. Jesus needs to have a voice. Jesus needs to have eyes. And that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be Jesus in flesh that says, I know, we love you. Let's work on this. And I can guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you, there are secrets in this room that people were afraid of if people knew this about me. Will they look at me different? That's shame. I can go on. Check out last week. Dia did a great job. And last is unforgiveness. You can't forgive yourself or you can't forgive somebody else. You did it. You screwed up. You knew better. You can't forgive yourself. We won't release forgiveness. Remember a number of weeks ago, I had Josh come up and we talked about the word forgiveness means to untie, and we were stood back to back and shoulder to shoulder. Remember that if you were here, okay? And what forgiveness does, I'm tied to that person, even if they're dead. I'm tied at that moment to them. And the word forgiveness means I'm going to untie myself from them. Say, Mike, I don't know how to do that. Then ask. We'll help you. I need to hurry. These strongholds, how do I know if there's a stronghold in my life? These strongholds drive us into broken relationships, hiding, and separation. I've known married couples that keep unhealthy secrets from each other because they don't trust each other. It's hiding. It's broken relationships and it's separation. Dear friends, man, something happened in a relationship and they just wrote me off. I don't even know what happened. Some form of stronghold took place. I have no clue why. So how do we get out of this? Here we go. Are you guys okay? Take a deep breath. Let's finish the last half of this. Just take a deep breath. Whew. Heavy stuff, but good stuff. And please don't put this in your Bible and then forget about it. Take some time to reflect on this. Let there be some time where the Holy Spirit does some stuff because, well, there's a reason for it. Here's where we go. Repentance. Repentance. To repent is to return home. Letting go and holding something different. Repentance is return home, letting go of something different. Repentance is when we allow another voice to change the way we think. We introduce another voice into our thoughts. That is the voice of God found in His Word. Repentance means I'm going to allow God to change the way I think, even if it's uncomfortable and even if it doesn't seem right. I'm going to repent. This is how we take every thought captive. We submit to what we hear from Christ and His Word. So repentance means that you take ownership of behaviors you regret, and even if you don't regret them, if they're against God's Word, you take ownership of them and commit to do what is right. In the face of repentance, this is going to be huge, Satan tries to keep us imprisoned by giving us ideas that it's too late, we're not off the hook that easy, God will never forgive us. You knew better, you promised, you never do it again. So that, understand that we have, and here's our next thing, sorry, I'm working on this. Understand that, just skip that line. No, joking. Understand that we have already been forgiven completely and forever through Christ. Completely and forever. So let me just get this done. In Genesis chapter 3, what did Eve say about Satan when she took the fruit? When God confronts her, Eve says these words, "He deceived me." Revelation chapter 21, the last words spoken about Satan as he's taken out of the pit, he is released to deceive the nations. So from the first to the last, here's how he operates: deception. Making something seem to be true when it's not. Jesus confronts this in John chapter 8 when he's the religious leaders in verse 44. Jesus says this about our enemy. Pay attention. I know I'm going a little bit longer. Hold with me. I'm almost done. John 8, 44, 45. Here's what Jesus says about Satan. He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth." Verse 31, he says, "If you hold to the truth, you're my disciples." Satan did not hold to the truth. And Jesus says, because of that, "For there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." A stronghold comes from real experiences where a lie is put into it, and now it becomes our truth. And when you try to step out of it by truth, the enemy is going to say, "That's not how it works. Stay here. He is a deceiver and he is a liar." And so Jesus confronts the religious leaders of his day who were in a stronghold of how to believe, what to believe about God. And Jesus says these words, "Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." They were so stuck in their stronghold that here comes the truth in flesh, and they didn't believe him. Dear ones, we've got to really pay attention. We've got to raise our children in truth. They are being exposed to lies all the time. We've got to show them what the truth of Jesus Christ really is. We've got to be people of truth. And listen, we've got to be people who are open to others who will speak the truth in love to us. People who care enough about you, not to harm you, not to do damage to you, but to say, I love you enough to say, that's a stronghold. Let me tell you the truth here. And if anyone speaks to you a truth that doesn't come from this, you don't have to accept it. My opinion is worth nothing. His opinion is worth everything. Say, Mike, I'm doing pretty good. And I'm almost done. Yeah, but we live in a world that is bound. You come across them all the time. You live next door to them. So, let's be done. What do you do when you've hurt or offended someone? Number one, own your behaviors and wrongdoing. If you've hurt someone, own it. You make me so mad. You made me. No, they didn't. They did not. That was your decision. You might have been mad, but in the anger, you did something. Own that. Own your own behaviors. Just own it for yourself. Don't blame somebody else for your choices. That just drives me nuts. Second, if you've hurt or offended someone, receive the forgiveness of God. Talk to him about it. Ask for his forgiveness. Say, God, my words, wow, Shabbat. They just went after that person. Forgive me, God. And then third, restitution to the relationship. Go to the person and say, forgive me. And don't ruin an apology with a lot of words. I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? But if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have done that. Stop at, will you forgive me? Period. Done. Will you forgive me? Done. We taught our children when they were young. We didn't teach our children when they had a fight to say, I'm sorry, because now we're adding lying to the event. We taught our children, will you forgive me? Because you can ask for forgiveness even when you're still mad. You don't have to wait till you're okay to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness comes from repentance. I recognize something is wrong. The emotion hasn't been dealt with yet, but I'm going to ask for forgiveness here. Now I'm going to deal with the emotion of it. Fourth, refuse to let the offense grip you. I love what Dia had to say with shame. Shame says you're a bad person. Conviction says you did something bad. Refuse to say, this is who I am. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. I'm always screw up relationships. I'm never going to be. No, stop. Refuse to let that be your identification. You made a mistake. You sinned. Own it. Let's go on. Five, replace all the lies with the truth of God. What does God say about this? He is the ultimate source of truth. And six, when you've done something, when you've offended someone, bless the person instead. Use your words to bless them. Ask the Father to help you see who they are through his eyes. When someone has hurt or offended you, what do? You identify the past hurt or injustice. Identify it. Don't just go past it. Look at it. Second, forgive those who've harmed you. Forgive them. Speak it out. I forgive Billy Bob Joe Fred for what he did to me. I forgive, Lord, for those words he said that really hurt my feelings. They were joking, but it wasn't a joke to me. I forgive him. Third, seek forgiveness for any negative reaction to the injustice. If they've done something bad to you, you know, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. It's like, you know, I don't get I get ahead. No, seek forgiveness for any negative reaction. Fourth, let go of the right to understand why. In my life, I've discovered that sometimes I've understood why it still didn't heal the hurt. Sometimes it made me more angry. I don't have to understand to forgive. I forgive because that's what the truth commands me. Five, bless them. Bless them, I like this phrase, bless them until it doesn't taste bitter. There have been times I've been so mad at people, I'm blessing them through clenched teeth. I bless those people so, boy, man, I bless them. God, and I'm so ticked at them right now, but Lord, I just bless them. Yeah, because not because I feel it. Not because I feel it, but because God, you tell me to bless, and I'm gonna repent. I'm gonna replace it with what you say. So, Lord, I am ticked as all get out, but I bless them. I just pray you just bless them so much, God, until it doesn't feel bitter. And that might take a while. That might take a while. It might take 6 months to go, oh man, I bless you. That's all. God, I just want the best for them. But it might take a while for you to get there. Because it's not the emotion, it's the obedience to the word. Deal with the emotion, but you can still follow the word. Why don't you grit your teeth and bless somebody next year, right quick. And then last, this is important. Speak out your freedom. You might be here and going, Mike, what's all these declarations we're doing? What we're doing is we are speaking out what God's word says. It's important for our ears to hear what our mouth and our voice say about us. You know what, Mike? You're really loved by God. You know, Mike, he is going to take care of you. You know, Mike, it didn't matter what happened over here. Let that go, son. Let it go, Mike. And Mike, you're not an idiot. That was my go-to. Mike, you're not an idiot. You are dearly loved, and God has made you an intelligent man who loves him. Hear yourself talk to yourself. Do it in a public place, especially. People love when people talk to themselves in a public place. Let's be closed. So, a thought. Go through the check marks. Nelson Mandela was arrested in South Africa, falsely imprisoned. And a point of fact, while he was in prison, he was training other prisoners how to read, how to write. He taught them philosophy. He taught them religion. He educated the prisoners while he was falsely imprisoned. He raised up other prisoners who got educated because he was in a bad situation. When they let him go, when they finally released him, here's the words he said, quote, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." That's profound. And that's why I'm asking you to put a check mark. Lord, is there something that you're stirring? Something's resonating in my heart when it comes to unforgiveness. Something is resonating in anger. Something is injustice. Something is resonating. So I might not know where it's at right now, but I'm going to spend time talking to the Father and say, God, I give you permission. Try my heart. See if there's anything in there that needs to be dealt with. Would you stand with me? Is there anything in your heart? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to identify. I'm just going to ask you. Is there something that you know that the Lord, Holy Spirit, has been working on your heart and you've just been ignoring it? I'll get with it later. It's like that root of that tree. I'll take care of it later. Is there anything in your life right now where there's stuff there that causes you one of these root expressions of a stronghold? And what I've discovered, this could have been years ago and the person already dead, but you're still carrying that stronghold. Because time does not heal all wounds. God heals all wounds in time. But God cannot heal a wound that does not exist. And what I mean by that is, if we're not willing to look at it, he can't heal it. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're our guide, you're our comforter. And Lord, if there's nothing there, we trust that. But Father, I believe because Holy Spirit is within us, he's our guide, he's our advocate, he's our counselor, he's the one who leads us into all truth. He is the spirit of freedom, as Paul says in Corinthians. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's not talking a physical location only, it's talking about we as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you're striving with us to bring us into greater freedom. We trust you in this. Lord, I pray that the words that we wrote down today, the words that we looked at today from your word, would bring us into greater freedom. Because, Lord, we can only give what we have. So I pray for everyone who hears this message, everyone in the sound of my voice, that they would ask themselves that if the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness and self-control, if that's normal, then if these are not coming out of our lives on a consistent basis, that we would pause and give you permission and we would go through the steps of forgiveness and repentance. So we take the words of Paul. We have to fight for this. We don't stumble into it. We don't just kind of ease into it. We have to fight for our freedom. And that fight is between our ears. So as Jeff and I and our team has been talking about mental health, we're casting the shame off those words. Because that's what discipleship in Christ is. It's thinking the way you think. And whatever is hindering that, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm asking that each person here and each person who hears, that in the next month would walk in a greater freedom than they have known. Because you empower us with divine weapons. And we look at them today. Help us to be people. Empower us, Lord, to take every thought captive, to make it obedient. Another voice of Christ, to Christ. That's the voice we want to hear found in your word. Lift your hands for a moment. Everyone lift your hands. I'm not trying to delay anything. Lord, I pray the deliverance of the Lord upon each life. I pray the deliverance on each mind. I pray the deliverance of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God on each mind here. And that, Father, we break off any shame. We break off any sense of hiding. Father, for any place in here where broken relationships are happening, Lord, stop them now in the name of Jesus Christ. And let there be wholeness and unity. That's what your normal looks like. For any, Lord, who have gone through brokenness, Lord, bring healing from this point that they might walk in a greater unity with you and with others. Father, I pray that we would be a people that look past the behaviors and we be a people who look at the heart and how we can see transformation in our valley. Because we are people who don't just go after behaviors. We are people who see through the eyes of God their hearts. And Lord, would you grow us up? Would you grow us up, Lord God, that we are not easily offended? That we're not easily people who are put off? Let us be people, God, who grow up by speaking the truth. We'll all grow up into him who's the head, Christ Jesus. And Lord, I believe it is in those places miracles flow. Healings take place. Because we are people who are obeying your word and allowing you to change our minds. In Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. Would you agree with me by saying yes and amen? Amen. You are dearly loved. Be blessed.